Newsflash, you can lose weight like a celebrity without being a celebrity. New Glucotrim from GNC delivers serious results with a proven formula that features ingredients derived from nature, like berberine. And the best part? You don't need a crazy expensive prescription. Glucotrim works with your body to support healthy blood sugar and protect lean muscle mass, unlike other products out there. And did I mention it's caffeine-free? So if you want real results, get on that celebrity weight loss level with New Glucotrim. Get it at GNC.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I'm your host, Annie Bowles, and this is News du Jour. Welcome to News du Jour. You may be wondering, why am I, Annie Bowles, here hosting this podcast? I usually start by telling people I'm a political baby. You see, my parents met working on Capitol Hill. By the time I was two, I had been in my first political commercial and even got lost crawling around the West Wing. Don't worry, Al Gore found me. My family then moved abroad when I was nine, and I attended an international school in Brussels with kids from all over the world. And it is this type of global perspective that I also bring to our show. I graduated from American University in DC after studying political science and art history, as well as interning on both sides of Capitol Hill. I even interned down the hall from where my parents met. I'm now pursuing a professional certificate in journalism at NYU in conjunction with Rolling Stone magazine. I guess I was always that friend in the group who cared deeply about not just what was going on politically, but also globally. I often kept my own friends informed through high school and into young adulthood, so I guess I've always done a version of this show. I'm genuinely passionate about following the news, and I'm here to break it down for you guys every weekday. We always strive to be a calmer space to get your news. Or, as one listener put it, like getting your news from a well-informed bestie. I'm so glad you're here. Hey everyone, welcome back to the News du Jour. I wanted to remind you guys that tomorrow we are going to the Oklahoma State Capitol. I know it is not an ideal time for most of you guys to join us there, but I would love to see anyone and everyone who is able to come. As of the time I'm recording this, we don't know exactly what time our bill will hit the floor, but I will put any details that we get on social media. As I've discussed before on this show, we are really at their beck and call, at their whim, and we don't know details often until the last minute. There are last minute changes that happen all the time. So I will keep you guys posted again on my personal account, which is at It's Annie Bowles on Instagram. And that, you know, Instagram stories is where you're going to hear it first. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and jump into today's episode. First and foremost, we're going to discuss Trump's Manhattan trial beginning, and then we're going to jump into a bunch of different global conflict updates. Let's jump in. So first and foremost, like I said, we're going to discuss Trump's Manhattan trial. So yesterday, we witnessed an historical event, one for America's books, to be sure. A former U.S. president began their criminal trial. Unfathomable for anyone other than Donald J. Trump. Pro-Trump crowds gathered outside the courthouse in a park across the street, and attorneys gathered inside. As with any criminal trial, Trump's is beginning with jury selection. There were 96 potential jurors being brought in for selection yesterday. The judge really impressed upon Trump's defense attorneys that the list of jurors not be copied or otherwise duplicated in any way. If you guys remember, Trump's camp has been known to leak such names, and his supporters proceed to stalk, harass, threaten, and even attack these people and their families. Apparently, when the jurors walked in, five of them were wearing masks, which obviously strikes a nerve in terms of the Trump presidency. So I thought that was something interesting to note. And that was only five out of 96, but I rarely see anyone wearing a mask anymore. So I do feel like it stuck out to me a little bit. And honestly, you'd have to be hiding under a rock to not have some type of opinion about Donald Trump, of all people. He is a divisive character, to be sure. So I think jury selection is going to be very difficult anywhere in the United States, and especially in New York City, where people tend to have bigger opinions anyway. So this will definitely be something interesting to watch, and I can't wait to keep you guys posted on how the jury selection is going. I also wanted to touch on, the judge briefly heard the prosecutor's arguments about Trump's gag order and whether or not he has already violated it. The prosecution believes he has, and based on a lot of the posts that I've seen, it doesn't seem far-fetched. The judge decided he would hear the full arguments on this subject on April 24th. During the lunch break, though, Trump reposted a video of Laura Loomer, who is a conservative political activist, criticizing this judge's wife. So if that's not a violation of the gag order, it's very close to one. It's walking, you know, this fine line. Trump is specifically not allowed to disparage or even talk about the people involved in the courtroom with this case. So it'll be interesting to see if the judge perceives this action as a violation, because, of course, his wife is not technically part of the case, and Trump didn't technically say anything. It was something that he reposted. Someone else said it. So it'll be very interesting to see where the judge comes down on this type of thing. That said, I feel like focus on the gag order could pull attention away from the actual trial itself, you know, the heart of the matter, and it might hold things up as Trump so desperately wants. So he's poking the bear, and the bear is trying not to pay attention. This case, as I've said a million times, is one that we will be watching very closely as, you know, we draw closer to the presidential election. Stay tuned for more details. And with that, we will head over to our global conflicts. I will issue a content warning. This story does involve war, but at the same time, it's not a particularly graphic episode. So let's jump into the details. First and foremost, Israel right now is in the process of weighing whether or not to respond to the attack by Iran. Some have commented that Israel not responding to Iran would make them appear weak. But at the time, Iran made it very clear that their aggressions are over so long as no one retaliates. And the U.S. really wants to de-escalate things as much as possible. So they've told Israel that should they attack Iran, they will be doing so without U.S. support. Meanwhile, thousands of Palestinians in Gaza are beginning to migrate back up to northern Gaza from southern Gaza, or migrate up to what's left of northern Gaza, according to CNN. Especially with the threat of a Rafah invasion looming, people in southern Gaza feel that things are about to heat up down there, and it's time to return to their neighborhoods to pick up the pieces of their lives that have been torn apart by war. So unfortunately, violence has also broken out, though, over in the West Bank over the past week or so. And this was following the murder of a 14-year-old Israeli boy. Once the body of the boy was recovered, vigilante justice just kind of kicked into effect. Buildings and cars were set on fire, and one Palestinian man was murdered as well, despite Israel's public call for settlers to not take the law into their own hands. Once things spiraled, Israeli troops came in and intervened and made sure everything quieted down. Things are calm now, but it's just further fuel to the fire of global violence these days. And for our final global conflict update for the day, news has come out that Alexei Navalny had been writing a memoir, you guys, prior to his murder. And his family is planning to publish this memoir. The book is entitled Patriot, and the first printing will be about 500,000 copies, according to the New York Times. I have already added to cart. It will come out in 11 different languages. All of it was written by Navalny himself, but some parts were dictated by Navalny to Yulia, his wife, over the phone from prison. It's being said that one of the main things he addresses in this book was his decision to go back to his homeland of Russia, knowing that he would likely face death in prison. This is obviously something he would have spent a lot of time marinating on, you know, deciding what was the right decision here. And he chose to face potential death. So not only is that incredibly brave, but we're going to get, you know, an insight here firsthand into his decision making on that subject. Here is what his wife, Yulia, wrote of the decision to publish the book. Quote, "This is not how I imagined Alexei would be writing his biography at all. I thought we'd be around 80 years old and he'd be sitting at the computer by the open window typing away. And I would be grumbling about the grandchildren coming soon, telling him he's busy with nonsense. But after the poisoning attempt in 2020, everyone insisted, 'Alexei, you should write a book.' He just shrugged it off. What kind of biography can be written at 44? It's barely halfway through life. He wasn't rushing anyway. There is still so much ahead. But things turned out differently, horribly and very, very unfairly. It turned out there wasn't another half ahead. Nevertheless, Alexei did start writing the book then and unexpectedly, quickly got into it. He liked to recall events in his life in connection with the events in the country. For example, he enjoyed describing his childhood. On October 22nd, Alexei's biography will be released simultaneously in many languages. It's already translated into 11, and pre-orders are available starting today. And it'll definitely be released in Russian, too." End quote. I'm really looking forward to reading what this man had to say before his death, and that for today is the news du jour. Today, I wanted to leave you guys with the quote, "Ideas are more powerful than armies." If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you use to listen. A rate and review on that platform or a shout out on social media would mean the world to us and help us to be able to keep creating the news du jour and reach more people who need a calmer space to consume the news. But the best way to support all of our work is to become a patron at www.patreon.com/sugarfreemedia, and that is also linked in our show notes. You can follow us on social media at newsdujour.podcast on both Instagram and TikTok. You can follow my personal account at It's Annie Bowles on both platforms as well. Any little noises you may hear in the background are my rescue pup. He has a little separation anxiety and always records with me. We appreciate you listening and look forward to telling you about the news again next time on News du Jour.
Broadcasting from
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.